Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
My last question to you was, when you take a look at your milk, do you look at where it's been produced? And you might be thinking, huh? Surely it should be here in South Africa, in our local backyard. Well, in some cases, yes, but in some markets, in some cases, we're actually seeing that a large majority of our UHT processed milk is actually imported from international markets. That should raise concern. And someone who's going to tell us why this happens to be the case is Fani Ferreira, CEO of the Milk Producers Organization, who's going to give us more insight into the concerns around dairy farmers who are failing to compete with international imports. Fani, welcome to the show, sir.
Good evening, Gugu, and thank you for having me, and good evening to your listeners as well.
It's such a pleasure to speak to you, Fani, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I'm aware that you've been a farmer for just shy of four decades. You've been at the Milk Producers Organization since 2022, and obviously come with a wealth of experience in helping us understand the concerns here. So maybe let's start there. From what we know, it seems as though dairy producers are feeling the pressure due to a failure of a milk delivery or transporting company not paying them for the milk it was meant to transport. Help contextualize the story here.
Thank you, Gugu. Yes, it's a highly unfortunate situation that we're sitting with in our industry, and it's affecting, of course, only the primary industry, and that is what we are representing, the farmers, the dairy farmers of South Africa. It's something that we started getting aware of at around about the beginning of February. Towards the end of February, some farmers were complaining that they wasn't paid by this specific individual company. It's a transport company. And from there on, we started picking up on the story and getting hold of farmers, and more we found out. And then around about in the middle of April, I think it was around about the 16th of April, this thing came to a point where it all had stopped, and this specific individual company totally stopped transporting milk from the farmers, and that's where we had to step in and negotiate with another transporter to help us out, reroute some current routes and make vehicles available.
And I'm assuming this comes at an additional cost, right, Fani? Looking for an alternative with different pricing and inflationary pressures. Did this cost the dairy farmers themselves as well, again?
Fortunately, it didn't cost them anything else. Transport is transport, whether it's being done by Company A or Company B. Mm-hmm. The transport cost is the same. We were just fortunate that this company were able to have excess vehicles available. Okay. And these approximately 25 farmers could have been serviced, and this milk was picked up on the farms and then taken to the processes where this milk was currently or at that time then being transported to.
And since then, Fani, as you've mentioned, you've found alternatives, you've kept the dairy farmers going, but I'm assuming that they still haven't received either money for the stock that they had actually shared to the initial logistics company.
Yes, no money was paid out up to this stage. We're talking around about 10 million liters of milk that was collected from farms and distributed to various processes. This makes up between 80 and 90 million rand. Sure. And there's a process ongoing. I am aware of, at first there was a couple of farmers that did apply for liquidation of this company. It was not successful. The owners of the company themselves then were first in line to apply for a voluntary business rescue process, and that was granted. That is where we are now. So as an organization, the MPO, we are in contact with this company. We already had a couple of meetings, and we are talking to them on a daily basis to facilitate this process. Mm-hmm. And coming Monday, the 6th of May, will be the first creditors meeting. So we urge farmers to register as creditors. We did provide them with all the necessary paperwork and the addresses where this should apply to, and I think as we are here, I think most of the farmers has already did it, and Fantastic. We just have to wait and see on Monday what happens.
All the best.
Yes, Gugu, it's quite a comprehensive topic. We've been fortunate, I must actually just start to say, we've been fortunate in the last maybe year or two that we didn't receive too much imports. But if we look back in the seasons of around about 2015, 16, 17, we really, really suffered, especially the UHT, what we commonly known as the long life milk,
yes.
The square box milk.
Yes.
They came in from Poland in that stage, at the rate of maybe 30 million liters at a time and ending up at up to 100 million liters.
Sure.
And as I say, in the last 2 years, because of the value of the rand, of course, and after what happened in COVID, the bottlenecks in the harbors did save us a small bit. We saw in 2023 that only 6 million liters of UHT was imported. But yes, coming back to your question regarding the price, it is an issue. And, if you understand the logistics and the working of imported products, especially from the European Union, there's certain regulations and rules in place. If you trade with the European Union, there's trade-offs. At one side or one side we import milk, at the other side we export citrus and other products. And with whatever regulations is in place, there's always price differences. And the imported milk, issued around about price specifically. We must always remember that the European Union, the farmers producing in the European Union, and let's stick to milk,
yes.
Do that under very, very high subsidies. It's not always exactly able to say what the exact price of it is, because it can differ from farm to farm. There's different arrangements with several farmers to their governments. But we do know that some of that milk is highly subsidized.
Mm.
And then it comes into our country at a lower price than what our own production prices is. And sometimes it's not always the case. I must say that as well.
Do we have any subsidies?
Sorry, can you?
Do we have any subsidies?
No, we do not have any. No, no, no. There's absolutely no subsidies on any dairy products from our government in place. And we're quite happy with it. I think it keeps us enormously competitive in the international arena. And I think that's the way that we would like to keep it. But unfortunately, if it's going to keep on coming at highly subsidized prices, it will have an effect on local production. And as I say, at this stage, we're lucky because of the value of the rand, but that could change. The situation in the harvest can change. We have seen in the last couple of weeks that it has been getting better and that could change quite quickly. But, yeah, it's something that we always keep our thumb on, and to know exactly what's happening there, and that we can also inform our producers and our members that they can know what's happening. And of course, our consumers, our consumers is very valuable for us. We use social media to make them aware. Now, if a product is, of course, imported, stick to UHT. If it's imported from Poland, it should say on the site that this is, product of Poland,
yes.
Or produced in South Africa, and then we would at least try to make our consumers aware that they must know where the smoke is coming from.
Definitely. I want us to use a very relevant example for many of us as South Africans. As you mentioned, UHT milk, which is the long life milk, typically in the card boxes and the screw tops, 1 liter, if I'm not mistaken, costs around 70, 80, maybe 90 rand, depending on the brand. And I'm keen to understand, when we look at the full value chain, Fani, can you help us understand, of that approximate 80 rand that we're paying for 1 liter of long life milk, how much of that actually goes to the dairy farmer at the end? Like, where are the cost implications locally, and how do we look to make it more competitive? So that next time I buy a liter of milk, I fully understand the value of the supply chain and the value chain that contributed to this.
Okay, yeah, that's quite easy to explain. Currently, the average price of a liter of UHT is around about between 17 and 18 rand for 1 liter. And the farm gate price currently is around about 7 rand 50 to 7 rand 70. So you are looking at around about 42% of the value of that liter of milk will eventually end up in at the farmer. But then we have to qualify that very, very carefully. And let's not try to understand that the farmer is making 42% profit on that. That is the part allocated to the farmer. On farm gate price, on farm gate level, not one farm is the same, not one farm is managed the same. And then, you know, there's a cost structure. There's a huge amount of cost. There's input costs from various sides. Your cows have to be fed. We're sitting with high Eskom rates. If it's load shedding, you know, the guys have to use tremendous amounts of diesel. So of that 42%, as I say, it vary, but I think around about between 5 and 10 cents or 5 and 10% of that eventually ends up maybe as profit for the farm.
Sure. Really intriguing, and I'm glad that you brought this up and made it realistic for us. And you're right. Me and my six-pack buying ways for milk, you're right, 17 rand. It does speak to a 42% contribution to the farming value chain or farm gate. Thank you so much for this, Fani. This has been really refreshing. And I guess next time we look at a 1 liter carton of milk, what else should we take into consideration as South Africans? Because I think we don't fully comprehend the kind of strain and opportunities and uniqueness that we have as milk producers in South Africa.
Yes, Google, I think we've got a lot of challenges in our industry. You know, and one of it is, I think, and that's the most important for us as primary producers, is the fact, you know, that there's a huge amount of South Africans out there that does not use any dairy. It is expensive. We do know that. It is unfortunately marketed at an expensive way. You know, and we do not cater with a specific product that can address the need of the less fortunate in our country. Mm. And that is one of a huge problem that we have, you know. We lost a lot of farmers during the last years. We have now seen that even that has slowed down. In the year of 2023, we only lost 21 farmers. In some years prior to that, we lost up to 1,500 in a year. So we are entering a stage now that we're very stable. Our industry is getting very stable. We've got about 880 farmers left in South Africa that produces more than 9 million liters of milk a day. Mm-hmm. They are very, very highly specialized. They know their way around their farms.
9 million liters? Yes, we produce. That's a lot.
Yes, we produce 9 million liters. And if you take that in a worldwide context, we're still very, very small. We're less than 1%. Well, it could even be less than that of the whole world's production. Yeah. Just to put that in a bit of context, if you take a developing country like India, they produce 300 million liters of milk a day. So we are quite small in that regard, but still, it's a lot of milk. It needs to be transported. It needs to be processed. It needs to get on shelves. And we would like to see the consumption of dairy, especially, you know, drinking milk to get better and better in the future. We do see that South Africa is not the highest consumer of milk on a per capita basis in Africa and also in the world. And we would like to see that better. You know, and if all works out, we would like to see that there would be ample space for our primary industry to grow and to allow our consumers to grow and also to be able to get their fair share in the market and a better share around here.
Funny, we do have to let you go, but the nerd in me just wants to understand, why are we such a low milk consuming population?
I think as I said, you know, it's quite an interesting story, and we can actually talk hours and maybe you can allow me at some stage again to talk to you about that.
Definitely.
But you know, our production type at this stage is actually quite sophisticated. If you go and stand in front of a shelf in one of our retailers, and you look at that in your dairy, what is in your dairy shelf, what is in front of you. And if you can close your eyes, you might as well open it and stand in New York or in London.
Wow.
We've got a very, very sophisticated approach to production of or processing of dairy products. And we do not cater for our lower income groups. I think that's if I have to say it in a very short way, that is it.
100%. Funny, we are certainly going to speak to you again, sir. This has been a very enlightening conversation, and I think really brings it home for many of us who next time have a cup of coffee, tea, cereal, bake, maybe even make scrambled eggs and add a splash of milk to it. You know, we'll have a deeper appreciation for milk and milk producers in South Africa and the dynamics that you contend with. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir, and all the best with the upcoming meeting next week, Monday.
Thank you so much, and I'd like to speak to you as soon as possible again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fani. You'll be welcome back very warmly. That's Fani Ferreira, who's the CEO of the Milk Producers Organization, giving us a very intriguing conversation that I think we often take for granted, right? Helping us understand the value chain, the context, the structure of what milk producers typically go through in South Africa, from the farming costs, from the concerns around transportation and logistics and other businesses perhaps letting them down, and even the cheaper imports that come in from international markets. They have dissipated slightly, but as Fani mentioned, it is an issue that we do contend with. And bearing in mind that farmers are not subsidized in South Africa. No government or state support in any form. So it really does pinch the farmer's pocket directly. And I think he's also left it off on a beautiful note for us to recognize that the milk production processes we have in the country are easily compatible to the global best in developed markets. So as mentioned, your cup of coffee, that baked cake you're going to bake, those scrambled eggs, next time you say have a glass of milk, I guess do so with a heightened level of appreciation.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.